this is about environmental health, specifically food safety and sanitation. Again, my research team, and a lot of this is funded by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and I have no financial interest to disclose. Again, this is done and carried out through and with our public health practice-based research networks, and a shout out to my ever popular, very important practice partners. But again, there's reason to believe that there's got to be relationships between these services and local health department and a community's health. And local health departments have roles we know regarding food safety and sanitation, including food establishment licensing, inspection, restriction of ill food workers. And in terms of facility sanitation, we're talking about things like swimming pool inspection, spas, beaches, fountains, things like that. Spray grounds, which I never really knew much about spray grounds until now, but now I know a little more. There is a certain amount of research out there, but it is really spotty, small level, and not very, and pretty inconclusive, which again is one of these things when you think, okay, this is something we've been doing for 100 years and ought to be able to have some more evidence behind it, and it's something that makes sense to be doing, but there's very little strong research really supporting a lot of this work. So my practice partners were eager for us to be tackling this. So our research question here: where are local health departments' expenditures on food and sanitation impacting, in this case, enteric disease morbidity? So our predictor was looking at per capita annual local health department expenditures, again, over 11 years from 2000 to 2010, adjusted for inflation. And then we harmonized these data between New York and all the health departments in New York and the health departments in Washington and service expenditures around food safety and around sanitation. We started out with these big buckets of environmental health spending on many different line items of activity, and we actually started out with 5 states, and we narrowed it down to 2 states and food safety and sanitation, and because that harmonization activity, it's one line on a slide, and it is a big job, and it includes lots of digging into data definitions and seeing how close these align, and talking with our practice partners, et cetera. For outcomes, we included incidence of the 7 most common notifiable enteric diseases in these states, and they're listed here. And these are the 7 most common in most states, and definitely in the states we examine. Oh, here's our harmonization slide. So this is the big buckets of all the environmental health services in the 5 states we looked at. As you can see, the one on the right, farthest right, Ohio, and then it says MH, it should be MN, that's Minnesota. And as you can see, those big buckets were way too big. And this is what we ended up with down here. We would have even liked to have just isolated food alone and looked at that, but we weren't able to do that when we combined it with New York and Washington. We had to put those together, food and sanitation. So here's our model. We used GE, or general estimating equations, were used to analyze longitudinal and other correlated data, and we compared these mean differences between local health departments and between local health departments and within local health departments across our 11 years of data, 2000-2010. And we just talked about the blue, what those blue represents. In the green here, we had variables that we expected to play a role in impacting this relationship. SDI down there is social disadvantage index. That's the index we've used before in our studies. It represents percent unemployment, median household income, and households on public assistance. And then we included, for example, percent in a county age 0 to 4 because their children are particularly susceptible to enteric disease. Foreign-born residents are known to have a relationship, et cetera. And we also included per capita food and drink establishments, so how many restaurants or licensed commercial restaurants or what have you were in that community. and obviously state, and CBSA is metropolitan, micropolitan, and rural. So our sample ended up being 72 local health departments, and across those 11 years, they're almost all of them county-based, a few of them multi-county. We were not, in the end, able to include all of the health departments in New York because some of them did not directly provide food or sanitation services. So 22 were removed out of the New York sample. We also tried the our analyses with and without New York City because New York City acts very, very differently. And we also found that there was a very large crypto outbreak in New York in 2005 from one state fountain that was contaminated and just obliterated this whole huge area of many counties, and it kept throwing off our model. So we took out that 2005 for crypto. You'll see that in a moment. So there are big differences by local health department, but here you see differences by state. The blue line represents Washington. The yellow line represents the 35 New York health departments without New York City. That's the yellow. The green line represents only New York City. And the black dotted line represents the combined of the 35 health departments and New York City. Basically, we tried it with and without. And we always explored New York separately, recognizing it as potentially different, but it really didn't change our models in the end. So here's the enteric disease rates. You'll see the problem with the crypto outbreak, a little bit of a problem there with crypto. But these are all of our diseases we looked at, and we modeled them each separately. They're all pretty flat, not too terribly different by state, except for that one outlier. They did differ by county, and the highest tended to be Campylobacter and Salmonellosis. Also, Giardia was rather big as well. So here's our results. The right column, you see a significant negative relationship of per capita food and sanitation expenditures with Salmonella. That was with the Salmonella rate in both states. And you see that combined in the top rows. And particularly in Washington, if you see that bottom row. Where you see the circle in the left column under crypto, you see a significant negative relationship with beneficial relationship with per capita food and sanitation expenditures and crypto rates, and particularly only in New York, really. When New York was in or out, it was there. Or another way to look at that is for every $1 per person spent, the incidence of crypto cases decreased by 0.09 cases per 10,000. But the results generally were demonstrating this negative, inverse, beneficial relationship, and other enteric diseases came pretty close or were significant at the 0.1 level if you were to look at it that way. Hepatitis was one of those, E. coli the other. But it was interesting to us that we found the most significant results with enteric diseases that could be considered the ones most susceptible to these local health department activities that we were looking at. Salmonellosis and crypto in particular. And then hepatitis A was close. And what was the other one I mentioned? E. coli, close. So those things that have this most understandable relationship with these local health department activities were the things that really stood out. Salmonella is really commonly foodborne and more likely to be susceptible to food services, restaurant inspections. Crypto is more commonly waterborne, related to recreational water and drinking water, and most likely to be associated with facility sanitation. Now, local health departments with a greater proportion of foreign-born residents reported more salmonella and hepatitis A. So this was a factor in New York, New York had many counties with much higher rates of foreign-born residents, and we think that that dampened kind of the significance in New York and our findings in New York. So that the relationship is probably there, but it was dampened by the percent of foreign-born residents. The other enteric diseases did not show up so much, but you know, our sense was that those are in a different part of or earlier in the production chain. They may not be influenced by local health departments. They have something to do with sort of agricultural inspection, home use of food, et cetera, and don't have that relationship with health departments as much. So the limitations, of course, there are many. These are secondary data. We only had, in the end, two states, and a lot of challenges with harmonizing these data. Certain enteric diseases are really underreported and underestimated. We know that. One of the ones we would have liked to have captured the most was norovirus. It's the most common, but those data weren't available. But the implications here that local health department expenditures on these services were associated strongly with lower rates of certain notifiable diseases, despite a lot of these problems with the data. So we think we're sort of underestimating the strength of that relationship, but it had this consistent beneficial effect. Sort of much like our findings with maternal child health, we presented on maternal child health and we've published on that, similar findings between that and low birth weight. And the suggestion is there with the communicable diseases study we talked about. So this is even with these very limited number of states, not very good data, et cetera, it suggests to me that there's a lot of potential here to be looking at the contribution of local public health departments to our local public health systems and outcomes at a community level. So this study also highlights the huge need for collecting and utilizing standardized services data that we can all kind of get behind and use for studies like this, as well as for local health departments to use for their own routine activities. And again, there's our papers, and thank you to all of our practice partners. We say with FAST that great teams have the right people on the bus, and we've got a huge bus load, ever-growing, articulated bus of people that make this possible. So thank you. We controlled for total expenditures, but we were drilling down at specific expenditures around that service area.
Okay.
Yeah. That was what the model, that was what we looked at in the models. No, again, that would be a level of detail of data that we don't have, that we would love to have. Actually, in these standardized measures we were talking about, there are FTE data in there specific, in fact, to food safety. It'd be fun to, you know, if as we get more of those kinds of data, we could include them in a model like this. But you're right, we don't. The only thing we were able to do to control for what you described, Susan, is you know, we control by state. Those state differences were in there. All right. And again, after we're done, or if people want to pick up, there's a research brief on these.
Thanks, Betty.